It's time for Breaking Chains with the P31 Ladies Night, where we will have open dialogue with our women on issues of personal, family, and more. It's Breaking Chains with the P31 Women on YAT Radio.
Where I'm trying to enjoy myself and the journey that God has me on. So, my guest tonight is Teresa Wright Johnson. Oh, my goodness, she's a social entrepreneur, a mom, family advocate, certified specialist. Teresa has helped thousands of people throughout her career. She's the founder of TWJME Enterprise, which consists of Making Money Out of the Box and Mommy Care Parenting Support Services, Inc. Ms. Wright Johnson has worked at and with places like Parent to Parent of Georgia, the Department of Children and Family Services, Georgia State University, SKIES Program, Women About Biz, Mocha Moms, Inc., Macy's, Marriott Hotels, Sprint Loan Business, and the Atlanta High Museum. She's a wealth of information, guys. So I'd like to welcome Teresa. Are you there?
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for introducing me and welcoming me and having me on this evening. I was just doing my thing, trying to get the kid settled. Just being a mom, you know how that is.
Yes. That's an interesting topic, your life experience is worthy. Can you go into a little bit more of just telling the audience a little bit why you chose that topic and why you feel that it's important about our life experience is worthy?
Well, I chose that topic because years ago I was sitting at a conference, and the word lived life experience kept coming up over and over again. And something in my spirit was telling me, that's something that you're going to focus on. It's something that you have experienced. And it's important to me because sometimes we forget that the struggles and the successes that we've been through are worthy and they're valuable. We forget that we go through things for a purpose and we have successes for a purpose. And I like to tell people about digging deep into some of your struggles, because when you dig deep into those struggles, you can figure out that maybe I can help somebody else through that. Just with who you are and what you do is a testament to that.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I think that last time I was in your beautiful presence, I'm still kind of just coming out of the fog, so to speak, that how awesome God is. I'm just forever grateful to him that I just never thought that I would be here. I mean, the journey definitely was not an easy one. So Teresa, when we talk about live life experience, you know, I'm the program coordinator for the Single Parent Society program over there at FACA. And a lot of people think that it's easy to come out of situations. You know, if you just have this, if you have that. But what I'm, even with my own personal self, and I try to tell people I'm speaking or coming in as a consultant or a panelist, it takes a lot of mental work to change that mindset. It's not as easy as people think. Oh, you know, why are people so hard to come out of poverty? And I'm just going to live life experience because it's, mm-hmm. and I want you to, you know, it's not as easy as people think that. Oh, we gave them a job or we gave them housing, but why is it them? And I just try to tell people, it's not as easy for that mindset to be changed as people think it is. It's the longer you've been in that pit, the harder it is to come out. So from your experience, you're working with families and parents and single parents. What's your take on that? Why is it hard for people to really change their life around?
Because a life is a long time and a life is a lifestyle. So from being a woman that has been raised in middle class to lower middle class to being in poverty, that's what really I think I reflect upon. And sometimes when we're telling people to pull themselves up from the bootstraps, earlier today I was looking at a young lady online and she was like, a lot of people don't understand the difference between surviving and thriving. And what she was saying is a lot of people, when they've been in poverty or they've been in certain situations, all they ever learned was to do is survive. So how am I going mm-hmm. to thrive if I never knew how to survive? And what we mean by that is surviving means getting that light bill paid or getting the lights turned back on or paying your bills every day and be able to feed your children and just having enough, just getting enough, getting it together. And a lot of times that's what some people may think life is if they have never experienced anything else. And let's think if we never, I remember years ago before I had ever been out of the country, all I knew was America. If you never see, feel, taste, or hear anything else, that's what you know. And so that's really hard for people to pull themselves out of that. And also, economically, if it's a poverty situation, you don't have the resources to get out of that as quickly because it takes money and it takes know-how to get out of certain situations. And what you said earlier is very true because, you know, I like to focus on mental health. I'm a mental health first aid instructor and a mental health instructor and a majority of things. And your mental health and finance is tied together. So mentally, I'm just trying to survive. I'm not trying to thrive. I'm trying to get the bills paid. I'm trying to make sure the lights are on. See, and that's another thing I loved about your story and I love about my story. When you had to just survive and you get to the thrive part, you're just happy you've gotten over the survive part. And so, because you know that was normal to you. You knew that was your everyday. And that's why our live life experience is worthy, because just as you and I have been through things, how, for instance, excuse me, I've been through domestic violence and I left, I tell people all the time, I was the true Atlanta housewife. I was a stay-at-home mom. I ran my ex-husband's business. I had my own business. I ran organizations. I had my children. I had a daycare. And I found myself in a situation where a lot of women find themselves in. I was in an abusive situation. Now, I could have sat there and stayed even longer and said, you know what, this is real comfortable for me financially. This is real comfortable. I don't want to move away from the comfort of my finances. But that's not what I decided to do. I decided to leave with no car, riding Mars, with no regular job because one of my children had disabilities. But guess what? Because back in the day, Mama taught me how to survive. I was able to survive. And so survival skills are paramount because if you never had to survive or want for nothing, you ever get to that point, how will you do it? I just remember looking back at people, women from these different organizations I was with, and just women I knew, they saw me and my little girl standing on the bus stop now. They didn't come and honk at me and say, hey, mm-hmm. girl, or nothing. Only a few of them did, maybe one. But once I got to my destination, and some of them were going to the same destination, they said, girl, I thought that was you on the bus stop.
Mm.
Okay. Okay. You thought that was me on the bus stop. But see, I knew how to ride the bus because my mother was a single mother in Baltimore, Maryland. She had to ride the bus. She never drove, so I knew how to ride the bus. And then I had a parent. My dad showed me how to ride MARTA at 12 years old. Just little things in survival will get us a long way. But how has that helped me now to help other people? One, it gives you empathy and compassion and understanding. And it's paramount. And I just want to say this, what I really find interesting is those same ladies that saw me standing on the bus stop or saw me in MARTA or saw me walking across the street from the grocery store with my little red cart or any of those things, they were saying, you're still getting everywhere because if you're a survivor, you can be a thriver. It's just about figuring out how to use those survival skills along with your live life experience, and we'll talk a little bit more about that.
You know what? Oh, my goodness. You know, it's interesting. And people just don't know. They don't know. When I come home, if I don't cry every day or every other, I'm literally crying because I know for a shadow of a doubt that when you're 35 and you uneducated and underemployed, if you've never had any kind of positive life and you just basically, the odds were stacked against me. It was the chance for me or my children to be successful was non-existent. But and people don't know, I come home and I cry because I know if he did not step, it was no way. It was no way. My mindset was so messed. And even because I was in that period of just feeling like nobody for so long, we're talking about 20-some years, I'm still dealing with the residue where I have to, you are somebody. you know, even with a doctorate degree, you are somebody, even as a 12-time public school officer, even as a form, because just because, I mean, I will spend my life in this mindset, you're unworthy, you're nobody, you're this, you know, for like 30, since I was about 14 years old, I dropped out of school in the 5th and 10th grade. So it's not as easy. It's only by the grace. I tell people, I'm telling you, it's nothing. And I believe God, he kept my mind. Some of that old moment, I can't even remember how we got from point A to point B. I some of that stuff is blurred out. And because it was just, I mean, for him, and it's, I feel like he kind of put, I got a book called The Crucible, which I got the term from when my son was in the Marines. But I was just in a, the crucible. The last 10 years, I was in this like training ground that I did not want to be in, you know. So for me to, but God had to. Now I'm looking back. He, in order for him to do what he's doing now, I had to go through it. But it's just so painful. I just remember, like you said, you know, I remember when I first got my first award back in 2008 from this organization. You know, they're Women Who Inspires. I was coming out of homeless. I was in the beginning of homeless. I just rode in school with 6 children, and I went back. This is the crazy thing. I went back 10 years later. So I went in. I got this award in 2008. I went back 10 years later because, you know, that was the first time they gave the award away. To show them, look, man, the award, you give me that award, and not go to waste. Look what God has done to me. Those people looked at me like, the love was not there. I even showed them my book, you know, because they have an organization where they help women. Can you help me? They look, oh, nobody writes books no more. It's out e-book. I mean, it was so nasty. And I'm sitting there like, oh my gosh. And someone told me, honey, you were just used for a story back then. That's why when you went back 10 years later, because you would think somebody would like to update their success on somebody that came, you know. And I just sat there and I was like, wow. You know, and so, like you said, people, that lived life experience is worthy. I'm just now getting to a place where I'm enjoying who I am. I'm not feeling bad. I remember some place I go, they were like, well, how you want to be called? Miss Holden, Dr. Holden. I said, I'm not big on titles, but I would like Dr. Holden. I said, that just showing respect for my journey. I said, because it didn't come easy. That just, that just showing respect for my journey. You know, if it was them, they would want the same dude, you know. And some people took their nose like, oh, okay, so you like titles? I say, look, you can call it what you want to call it. I said, but you went out there in those streets in Atlanta home with your kids. You went out there. So, you know, so that's what I'm just saying. Everybody's not going to celebrate us on this journey and what God is doing in our lives.
Right. And then not only that, sometimes, what you said, some people will use you for a story, but also some people may not, they might have outgrown, you might have outgrown them. And so sometimes people want to see you at that level forever, or they think you're going to be at that level. And I think about that often because with my different things that I've been through, it really is, I believe that you go through things for a purpose. And if you look back at your history, and speaking of that, you were one of our history awardees for one of the programs I had, Mom Biz Boss. But when you think about history, you start understanding who you are and why I live life experience worthy, because some of the things we're repeating that we didn't even know was in our DNA, in our history DNA. And so for me, I had a parent that experienced domestic violence. So later on, you know, I wasn't in the home because my mother had left the situation by then. She had left the situation by the time I was a child old enough to understand what domestic violence was. However, it was a piece of history there. Now, I can say that what I got from that is you can decide to go and mope and be depressed or ignore what you've been through, or go get some training and some education. And that empowers me. And in turn, now, as a domestic violence facilitator, I can empower other people. And that's why I said your lived life experience is worthy. You don't have to be a domestic violence facilitator. You don't have to go and be a teacher. But it could be as simple as this. I had a young lady one day. I was sitting in the DFACS office, which is the welfare office here in Atlanta, Georgia. I was sitting over there when I left my ex-husband. I ended up having services for 3 months because I figured out how I could move on, because I do have some education and have some degrees and that kind of stuff. But that doesn't even matter, because when you're in that survive mode and you've been mentally beat up or worn down, you can hardly get out of that. But while I was at that office that day, a young lady was sitting there, and we were just talking in the office. And if you ever been into any of those offices, which I was familiar with, because I had helped other women while I was that stay-at-home mom, I used to sit with other women and help them apply for services. But this young lady was talking to me, and we were just sitting in the office, and she said, "Yeah, I can't sleep at night." I said, "Oh, you can't? I'm sorry," or whatever. She said, "Yeah, because my boyfriend kicks me at night." And I said, "Girl, I know what that's like. I hate sleeping with somebody that kicks me." And she said, "No, I sleep on the floor and he kicks me." I said, "What?" I said, "Let me tell you where you can go so you and your kids can be safe." And I just gave her the information. Then they called her in, and I never saw that lady again. Well, maybe a year later, while I still didn't have a car, it was hot. I was walking from a clinic, a doctor's office, because I didn't have insurance, and you still got to get checkups and all those things. But I was walking from a clinic, and I was walking up this hill in the heat trying to get to the train station. This lady stopped, and she said, "Do you need a ride?" I said, no, not really. She said, "You don't remember me. I was such and such and such." Your lived life experience doesn't mean you have to go out there and start a business. It doesn't mean you have to go out there and start a nonprofit. Just share with someone else what you've been through and information and resources. Because that lady said, "You don't remember me. I'm the lady that you talked to at the DFACS office that day. I got my daughters back," because her daughters weren't with her then. "And I left that man, and she had gotten a car, and she was living and doing well. But it had been the story that I told her and the resource that I shared with her, being okay with struggling and telling her my, hard things that I was going through, and it helped her." So the reason I say your lived life experience is worthy is because it is not just for you. It's not just for you. That struggle is not just for you. Those successes, just like your successes, you've overcome all these things, and now you're a doctor. Well, your successes weren't just for you, because now your children are growing and thriving. Everything we do has purpose and is worthy, whether it be a success or struggle.
Oh my goodness! You know, and I think that that's the pain when people say, you know, and it's gonna be painful anytime you're trying to change your life around, and you're trying to, you know, go a whole 360. Even your experiences, I mean, you're trying to actually almost change the way your brain, your thought process is. It's gonna be painful. Whoever's listening, it's gonna feel like, I mean, it's almost like you're working out for the first time and you're trying to go hard, you know, but the pain. So when you're starting out, you know, and the thing about it, I realize, say someone who's listening on the call, you know, "I've been on drugs, or I've been doing this, or I've been doing that." And even if you start to change your life around, don't expect people to cheer for you. And I think a lot of people get caught up in that. "Don't, I'm trying to do my best. Nobody is cheering me on." I had to learn how to be my biggest cheerleader, and it was hard. I thought, you know, because I felt like the black sheep of the family, and I'm like, okay, because I've never did drugs, never drunk, never just always had low self esteem at an early age. Never because of being treated like the black sheep, because, you know, I dropped out of school and stuff. So for me, that mindset to change. I just want somebody to know it's not going to happen overnight. And just because I enrolled in school, you would have thought people would have been, "Girl, I'm so happy for you. You're doing..." No. Even when I ran for public office in 2017, family still didn't come out and support. Because at this point, now they're embarrassed that, because people never expect for you to make it to the other side. So now it's like, "Oh, you got to tell people you was homeless. Are you going to embarrass us? They know we all from Atlanta." So I tell people, if you want to be talked about good in someone's story, treat them better. You know, everybody, and so for whoever's listening, like Teresa said, your lived life experience, you can use in positive. It don't have to be, well, you don't have to go get a doctor. It's just where you use that experience for the purpose, even if you're just touching somebody's life with a smile, going out doing something that you can impart to somebody before you leave here. And so that your life experience is worthy I just think that topic and where I'm at in my life, started my business last year while I'm starting to do motivational speaking and facilitate workshops and person development coaching, I'm just now realizing that my life experience is worthy. So I just, that topic was just, you know, I'm just now like, okay, God, you know, I have something to offer. I have, and that's just my way of really giving back. And I'm just excited about what God is doing.
Right, and I agree. And not only that, when we struggle or we succeed, we get value to that. Like you said, you told them, I'm doctor, not miss, because it's value. You put a lot of work into getting that doctor. You know, they don't know what you've been through. And not only that, you're also thinking about value. When value, a lot of times when you hear value, people think money, but value means that it's worth something to you. It's worth something to you. So it could be anything that you've done in life. To you, it might be something that you help someone else with, where you can, you know, like you said, now you're speaking, you know, you do the stuff with the Single Moms Organization, facilitating workshops. You've gotten numerous awards for sharing your story, because we all have a story, but where do you find a purpose in it? Where can you pull out how your lived life experience is worthy? And you could have decided you want to have a nonprofit. You could monetize by it. That's what I'm learning. Everybody has a story. Everybody doesn't necessarily have a business, but you can create a business, a service, a ministry, a product,
yes,
or just help someone that's on the street. You know, as a mother, you had all your beautiful children. As a mother, motherhood is worthy. Being a mother, there's so many things that you can spin off of that and that you've learned from being a mother. And not only that, made you a better person. A lot of times being a mother, you know, is a whole different experience. Everything has value in it. And one of the things we do sometimes, and I love what you said earlier, people don't expect you to rise or get over to a certain place. And I just had an experience like that. And it's so funny. I don't know how to put it. But before I go to that experience, I remember when I was telling you about standing on the bus stop, one of the ladies I used to see all the time, she would see me with my daughter and my stepchildren now, because the guy with the kids was my boyfriend. Those were his kids, but now he's my husband. I remember them, seeing her. And she wouldn't say much to me. You know, she'd say, girl, you on the bus and you still get everywhere, because I knew what I was doing. Yeah, I still got to those events. I still did things. And she didn't talk to me for years. And then when they see you rising back up, they'll do one or two things. Now you're back to with their level, or you're to their level, or they're what you just said. They want to act like they don't see it. And so I recently was with someone or some ladies, and they were like, yeah, very close people to me. Yeah, something about a book. Now, one of them, I never knew she was watching me on social media. She told me everything I do. I said, oh, I see you. Mm-hmm. All right, that's nice. And then the other one said, yeah, you got a book, but you ain't never give us one. How do we order it? Now, this one right here, y'all live together. So she watching me on social media. If she would like a book, she could click on it. And then the other lady says, I said, well, I showed you a book. Well, you didn't let me read it. No, when I showed it to you, you act like, oh, well, because you don't have this high-level degree I have, and I don't have a book yet. And I remember before any of this, you know, it was like, you need, well, maybe, Teresa, you need to go back to school and get this, or you need to get that. That's the other point I want to make. Just like your degrees are worthy, people need to realize their struggles, their strengths, their skills, their talents, and their successes are just as worthy. You just got to figure out why they're worthy, because just like you said as well, you don't know how you got your children and you got them, right, place to place every day, whatever your living circumstances were, but you didn't even have those degrees yet, but you still survived. So we have everything that we need to survive and get what we want out of life. We can always add on, like you ain't got additional degrees and I got my stuff and my degrees and my certifications. But so many times what we talked about just a minute ago when you were discussing self-esteem, a lot of times people put their worth into objects, into degrees, into money. But that life who you are, everything within you is just as worthy as anything else, because if you were created in greatness, you could walk around, like I tell people, I could sell myself like a bum, meaning I can sell my talents, my strengths, and my skill sets, looking because I was created and born great.
Oh my, I think like you said, it's about respecting your journey, and you have to show up in life where and because the way you respect your journey is it's gonna dictate how the world respect your journey. You know, for a long time I used to always, I don't want nobody to think I'm this. I don't want nobody. I used to always walk with a Lord head, and I'm just walking God confidence. I'm just anywhere I go, I'm always thanking, you know, God, you know, because, I never would have thought within 10 years I would have accomplished what I did. And I know it was only by His grace and, you know, and mercy, but I'm just getting now where it's okay to feel good about what you've accomplished, you know, it's okay, because you don't have to, you know, feel, but it's okay, you know. So I'm just still telling people that I'm still giving myself self-talk, you know, because this is a new arena for me. I've always lived a defeated life, and I'm telling myself it's okay to feel good, you know. It's okay to feel good that, you know, you are achieving and continue to achieve something. It's okay. And so sometimes we don't even give ourselves permission to feel good about what God is doing in us. You know, we don't give ourselves permission to enjoy our journey, and we walk around, you know, I think especially if you're a person that came from straight poverty like me. I mean, you know, I've never had no certain lifestyle and nothing. I just literally came from, I mean, just statistic-wise, just, you know, like I said, a high school dropout and four kids by 22. So I just really came from that low mindset, low-income community, just as a young adult. So for me to change my mind in mid-30s and in the last 10 years, it was a painful process. So whoever is listening, it's okay to feel what you're feeling through the process. And I think a lot of times, Ms. Therese, everybody wants the crown, you know, instead of the cross, you know. And so that's I'm sorry. I just got a little choked up about what God, I think about, that He didn't forget about me. I mean, He didn't have to do it. So that's why I'm just showing respect for my journey.
Right, because everybody has their own journey. We definitely have to show respect for our journeys, ourselves, but that's why it's important to have empathy and think about other people so that you can respect their journey as well. So that you understand, like you said, you grew up in poverty in regards to being a dropout and being 22, having the four kids by then. So that's what you experienced. But a lot of times, you know, you never know what people experience. You could see someone and you would never know. I remember, and I always think of this, one day I was getting in the car or something, and this lady at this organization and say, "Girl, and where did you get your master's?" Well, like, "Teresa don't have no master's." You know why? Because Teresa does not like school like that. Teresa has a college degree. Teresa has 20,000 certifications. I remember she assumed that because she had a master's and that I was intelligent, that I had a master's. But I don't have a master's. And that reminds me again, like what you were saying earlier, for a long time, I would think like to myself, you know what, I don't have a master's like everybody else in my family. Well, everybody in my family has a master's or a PhD or is a therapist or is a professor, and I don't. My younger brother and I, we're both entrepreneurs. And until I understood how worthy my skill set was and my gift was, and that I saw that I was just doing just as good as them, that was a complex that I had. So you cannot judge yourself based on other people, because your journey, your path, your successes, and even your strengths and skill sets are totally different. Everybody wasn't created to be a doctor. Everybody wasn't created to be a nurse. Everybody is not going to have a PhD. Guess what? That might not be a part of their journey, but that still makes you no less than. And that's a very important thing, especially that we need to teach our children right now, because I love, like, some of your children are with their college degrees. Some of them are doing all kinds of things. Look, you told me you had a daughter that was an EMT the other day, right? And, you know, some of them are in the military. it's important to instill those things into our children while they're young, because in real life, everybody is not going to do the same thing. Technical school, where someone learns a trade, I got friends that have trades that are making more than my friends that got a bunch of student loans and vice versa. Or maybe
exactly.
They want to go get a skill set, be an EMT, be a surgical tech. It's okay, because it's about your skill set in your life, because your lived life experience is just as worthy. Your education is a part of your lived life experience, and your knowledge is just as worthy as anybody else. And that we have to think about, because a lot of times we put worth on things that, guess what, it's not that deep. We need to really think about what is important, and especially with our children, and then ourselves, because at some point you were children. So, like in a household such as mine, where everybody didn't go to college, and it is expected, okay, you're going to go and get your doctorate, your master's, your specialty, your doctorate, or whatever, law school, whatever. That was just a given for me. And nobody really told me about entrepreneurship. I just learned it and watched it, and I'm so glad I did, because that's what I thrive in. And I wanted to say that, you know, you can go through things that you'll grow through. You can grow through those things you've been through. So just because you don't have everything lined up like everybody else doesn't mean it's not worthy. It's worthy. And not only is it not worthy, you're able to help other people. So what I really like telling people is, with your lived life experience, your lived life experience is just as important as any diploma. But the person that has to value it first is you. And once you value it, everybody else will value it too. Not that they're going to value it like you, you know, how you and I were talking about. They may not say anything, but they're watching you. They see you. They see you growing through what you're going through. And those that don't acknowledge it, just don't acknowledge it. Because it's important that we make sure that we understand that our experience is worthy, and that it is not for us. It's for somebody else. You would not have this radio show right now if your lived life experience wasn't worthy. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you right now. I'm just feeling great and blessed that I was able to sit here and talk to you about that. What else did you want to talk about today or tonight? That's got me revved up.
I know. Well, you know, let's talk about Mom Biz Blog. Your events, you have them, and they're awesome. So tell us a little bit about that, and then tell us how, if women, you know, they want to join, be a part of that. You have so many different, events with that Mom Biz Blog, a little networking where you can get out and everything. So tell us about how did you start Mom Biz Blog and a little bit about that networking.
So with Mom Biz Boss, my business is TWJ Meets Enterprises, like Teresa Wright Johnson, multiple enterprises. Because once I realized that entrepreneurship was my thing, and I've been an entrepreneur since I was a child, to be quite honest, I remember my first customer as a child. And this, you know, this is dating me right here. I remember my first customer was one of my mom's friends said, well, can Teresa babysit Elijah? And my mom was there. She was in the house, but I was watching. And she said, yeah, she can babysit. And I was looking like, I ain't babysitting. And she gave me this stuff that looked like Monopoly money. You remember those stuff? They were called food stamps. They were colorful, because I remember. I think it was a purple one or something. She paid me with that. And my mom explained to me, you could use that and go to the store or whatever. So I remember that was my first client from a customer, a business. From that point on, that was maybe at 9 or 10 years old. I had started various businesses, daycares. I've been a nanny. I had a sitting service in high school, all kinds of stuff. But for me, I've always loved children. I never wanted to be anything else besides a mother and a business owner. From the time I was a little kid, I played on the phone like I was working at the telephone company, which I ended up right out of college working for Sprint at the telephone company. And I also ended up being a mother a little bit after that, I think about the age of 21 or 22. 21 was my ex-husband, but I lost that child. So to me, motherhood is very important, and I have combined motherhood and business together. I have a background in business. I have a degree in business and a certification in small business management, and I believe motherhood is a business, and not taking the nurturing part away. You got to do everything just like you run in a business or running, you know, or working at a job. You delegate, you manage things, you budget, you schedule, you prepare food, you get people back and forth transportation-wise. So my mom biz boss event that you were talking about is the brunch that I have each month. On a Friday, the third or fourth Friday of each month, but we also have other outings, events that we do, and we focus on how to integrate being a business owner and a mother all together, and how do you try to balance it all, but how do you integrate it all. And so with the event you came to, which was lovely because, as I mentioned earlier, you were one of our recipients of our Mom Biz Boss History Makers, because I thought of you, and I remember, you know, I reached out to you, and the history maker you were you were the first person to graduate, I believe, college.
Yes.
As a history maker in your family, because, see, that's the other thing, we trivialize history has to be this grandiose thing. No, it doesn't. History is history, and today history, and so we wanted to honor you, so. We have our monthly brunches, and then we also have our conference coming up. And you can just Google or go on to Facebook or Instagram and put in Mom, M-O-M, Biz, B-I-Z, Boss, and information will come up about our upcoming brunches and our upcoming conference. Thing that's a little different about our conference is I told you guys I always wanted to be a mother and I wanted to be a business owner. So I really do have mothers come and sit on panels, and we have mothers that are mothers via maybe they're a blended family mother, or maybe they have grown children, or they're a stepmother, or they're, you know, a foster mother. We talk about the different stages of motherhood, different things people may experience being a mother. Then on the other side, we'll have business owners that are mothers, and this year we're going to have someone that's an inventor. She's going to talk about how did you get your invention set up and, you know, that kind of stuff. We have someone that talks about governmental contracts. How do you get governmental contracts? There's someone that's talking about investing. How can you sit at home and learn how to invest on invest in the stock market? What if you have little children and you're not able to send them to daycare, or you don't want to, or you're a stay-at-home mom? We talk about how you can make money from home and still provide for your children. That's a little bit about my story. I didn't have a car when I left my ex-husband, but I had learned how to make money from home and teach other women. I was teaching other women how to make money from home. And earlier when I was telling my story, I said, yes, I got services for 3 months. And I think that's funny in a way because a few, maybe about a year or two ago, my daughter and I were at the store, and the guy said, when I was checking out, the good lady said, will that be EBT, a debit card? And my daughter looked at her, she said, well, let me make her think we had an EBT. I said, let me tell you something, sweetie. You ain't real good on an EBT for a little bit. You weren't even old enough to know. But if I had not had my, she was looking at me like, what? I said, cool. You up in my little apartment we had, and guess what? It worked. But if I had not had my skills of knowing how to make money from home and find other work, I would have still depended on those services. So I like empowering other mothers with information, whether they are a mother just starting off or a corporate CEO. Because at the end of the day, at Mom Biz Boss, we all have one thing in common. We're either a mother or we're somebody that supports mothers. And it doesn't matter if I am stay-at-home mom, because to me, a mom is a multiple operational manager, and that's a big job, okay? It's just like a CEO, a multiple operational manager. And even if you're a CEO at a company, guess what? That's the equal to me. There is not a difference. So that's what Mom Biz Boss is about. We talk to women and moms that support moms and things that moms and children do. And I'm just loving it because guess what? That's part of my lived life experience. And guess what? It became worthy, and I actually monetized that part.
Oh, my. For anybody that's listening and you are an employer, okay, you just heard it from Ms. Teresa Wright Johnson. Okay, someone said they was a stay-at-home mom for 5 years on their resume and on their application. Look at those skills, because like she said, I mean, that's a, you're wearing many hats, and it's the same as if you're on somebody's job, you're doing paperwork, you're doing the same with a family, you're doing So I think that we shouldn't overlook the fact if someone says there was a stay-at-home mom. You know, it's interesting because even with my situation, I almost didn't have a choice. You know, being homeless with six kids and a full-time student, it was no way I was just, if I'm at school and if I had a full-time job, I just made a decision. I had to be there for my kids. You know, I just refused to let the streets raise them or the jails house them. So I was a full-time student, a full-time mom. That was my work. That was keeping them safe so they can have some kind of future. You know, I wasn't able to provide materially or we moved around for shelter, cars, hotels, streets, living in a boarded up, matter of fact, we lived in a boarded up house for 3 months when I rode in school. But to see them, it was worth it. I don't think I would go back and do something different than being that full-time mother where I can really be there, protect my children. And I do hate I wasn't able to provide for them their kids. They still wanted the nice shoes. They still wanted the nice clothes. But I think, you know, that being at home with them, being able to be there when they get out of school, whether we lived in a shelter or we lived, you know, from place to place, I'm just seeing the benefit of it now. But it's definitely, I think if you're an employer and someone come and tell you, hey, you know, I've been a single mom, stay-at-home mom for 5 years, 10 years, I don't think you should write that person off and say they don't have work experience. Let's see how you know, as an employer, let's see how you can break that down into work experience. Because like you said, that's definitely a stay-at-home mom, you know, or mom, period. You try to juggle full-time working or staying at home. And a lot of people don't think staying at home, what are you doing? You're at home all day. What is that? Okay, yeah, try to stay at home. If you got kids, you got to have, like you said, it's a business. I got to have this done by this time, this. Okay, so I got, you know, and like you said, that's the part of not feeling bad. And for a long time, I felt bad because we did struggle and I wasn't able to provide. I mean, some of them didn't, you know, we missed prom. But to see them, I don't know, just to see them serving in the military, colleges, and college, authors now, athletes, to see them in that way I just think it was well worth it. And so tell us about this conference that you have coming. Well, you said a little bit about it. What day is that conference on and the time?
So that conference is called the Mom Biz Boss Network Conference. Everything that I do has something to do with work. And it's because that's a vision that was given to me. So instead of just going to network, even our brunches are network brunches because you should walk away with value and worth. So it is our annual Mom Biz Boss Network Conference, and it is going to be May 18th. We always have it in May because guess what? We celebrate moms in May. And it is going to be at the International Horse Park event venue in Conyers, Georgia this year. And it's just a different kind of vibe. First of all, listen, we're moms. And you don't have to come out with your heels on unless you want to, okay? Our dress code, our attire is even comfy and cute. So that means put on, you know, what's comfy and cute to you. Because we don't just sit there and talk and network. We network. We have activities that we do. So you start off the day with motivational stretch. So we talk about, you know, in the morning, making sure that you get up and you are, you know, stretching properly or whatever. We have a professional each year either doing stretch or yoga or something like that. We start off at 10 a.m. This year we're going to end at 2 p.m. Last year, got so revved up, my business partner, Ms. Shonda Tillman, with Shonda Tillman Homes with Better Home and Gardens, she's like, listen, we can't go all day like that this year. We got to have it. It became, to me, I actually ended up leaving at one point because I had another event the same day to speak at, which I will not do this time because my partner, Shonda, is like, no. Ms. Tillman is like, no, ma'am, you can't leave. But when I came back, I thought they were having a revival or something. I was like, what's going on? Why y'all in this circle? But it's beautiful. It is just a great time. And we also provide lunch, but the speakers are what I said. We have two different panels. One of the panels is all about motherhood. So this year we have several moms. The categories this year are categories such as like a new mom or a mom with young children, a mom that has a child with or children with special needs, a mom that focuses on health. I'm so excited. We have a health expert and mom and a boss of her own in her own right coming from out of town to come and speak with us. And then we also have some other types of mom categories, such as, you know, single moms, married moms, that kind of thing. And we talk about the differences and the things that are common or alike when you're a mom, no matter what type of mom you are. Because at the end of the day, remember, you're all moms. But certain categories and certain ways that we raise our children do have their own challenges. And we want to honor those different categories, too, because sometimes people don't know what it's like to be a single mom, or they may not know what it's like to be a mom that has a child with special needs. So that's what we do on that particular panel. And then we have another panel, like I said, that is all about business. They're mom biz bosses that are business owners. Many of them are coaches within their own right, talking about things such as governmental contracting, investments, insurance, inventions. I noticed I had a lot of eyes in wholesale. Today, we even one of our panelists that we have on the panel, I ordered with Mom Biz Boss some items from her that's branded just for Mom Biz Boss for some of our attendees. So that's what we do with the panels. But we also have a time during the event for recess for moms. And I'm not going to go into detail because you have to be there to experience, but boy, did we have fun last year at recess. It included a cowbell, some jump ropes, all kinds of stuff. Because as mothers, we need to know how to have fun, too, outside of children. And also we need to know about self-care, because who takes care of us? And if we take care of us, we can take care of our children, our families as well. So we have recess, and then we have several other things going on at that wonderful event. It's in nature. It's not outside, but there's a lovely walking trails and so forth on that particular property. And then we have lunches, snacks, and treats. We have another great year of one of our sponsors, Atlanta Sugar Rush. Last year they provided these wonderful cake pops, and this year they're also providing some other treats as well as some other people. And then we have a sponsor called Frugal Chicks, and Frugal Chicks is really great. They have all kinds of apparel, and we actually wear some of their apparel at our event. So that's what we're doing at Mom Biz Boss, and we have some awardees such as yourself. You're going to pick up your award for History Maker, Mom Biz Boss History Maker. I haven't even announced this yet, but it'll be announced in the next 2 days. We also will have MLM, Multi-Level Marketing Mom Biz Boss of the Year, a for-profit Mom Biz Boss of the Year, and a non-profit Mom Biz Boss of the Year. So we also have a few awards as well, because all of those are different categories that are all worthy of them being nominated and awarded.
Oh, my. Well, I tell you, y'all. One thing, Teresa, tell us about the classes that you offer. If somebody wants training, they say, you know what, I'm ready to do something so I can be more involved in the community, more involved, or take more control of my life. Tell us about your training that you provide as well.
Girl, you're making me sleepy. Now let me tell you. Now when my friends and people tell me you do a lot, you ask me all these questions, I'm like, woo, yeah, I do a lot. Like my husband said, he's like, I don't know where you're going. He just asked me, he said, you doing a make your money out the box tonight? Okay.
Well, you know what? I love what you do. I'm just trying to promote and highlight. I mean, because you do domestic violence, parenting classes. You don't charge a lot. I mean, you know,
some of our stuff for free. So we do some of our stuff for free. And thank you so much for giving me a platform to talk about the different things, because a lot of times being a multitask and multifaceted entrepreneur, people want to put you in a box. And they're like, well, what do you want to talk about today, Teresa? So I always have to choose. So you're giving me an option to really talk about all the things that I do. And it still ties into our topic, your lived life experience is worthy. So I'm so appreciative of that. So what I do is just like I have experience as a domestic violence victor, not a survivor, because I'm a victor, because I got victory over that thing. So I'm a domestic violence victim. I just go and get additional training and certifications because I want to help other people. And so with domestic violence, I provide training and information through facilitation as a certified domestic violence facilitator. I also am a certified mental health instructor and trauma-informed instructor. And I don't want to go down that list because remember I told you I don't have a master's, but I got like 20-something, 30-something certifications now. With domestic violence, I do that, and then mental health. And then we also provide parent training. I'm a certified parent specialist, parent educator, and in the state of Georgia, I'm a certified parent peer specialist through the Department of Developmental Disabilities and Behavioral Health. And what I do with that is I help families that have children that experience behavioral health challenges or mental health challenges because I have my own lived life experience with that for children of my own. So I definitely work with that. And if you ever learn my story, the reason I have the TWJ and the Enterprises is because I am a woman that has a for-profit business and a family-run organization. And with a lot of the training I do, there are fees, but organizations hire me. I speak for several organizations as a speaker or a trainer, such as NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, the Mental Health of America. Also, I speak with the Georgia Consumer Network. I can go on and on, but guess what? It ties back into my lived life experience being worthy, and you're about to make me cry now because I would not be where I am if I had not listened to what I believe. I believe your self-conscious is God speaking to you, that my lived life experience was worthy, and I figured out a way to monetize it. So, yes, I do have a for-profit business, but on the other side, I have a nonprofit family-run organization where we help families and through the Federation of Families for Children's Mental Health. So, for instance, unfortunately for me, I've lost several children of my own that I birthed, but one of my children had very special needs, and she passed away some years ago. And we have an organization that I honor parents that have children with special needs. And those needs include physical, cognitive, and mental health special needs and challenges. So, for instance, tomorrow night we're going to have one of our support meetings for that organization. Organization is called Zaya Song, and our chapter of the Federation is called The Younger Years and Beyond. And tomorrow night I'm having one of our monthly support meetings. And actually, we're going to have dinner, and dinner is paid for and provided for the parents. They can bring their children, and we just sit and talk about what their challenges are. Because guess what? My lived life experience of having that child with the cognitive needs and the physical disabilities, I'm able to help somebody else. And then having that child that may have mental health or behavioral health challenges, I'm able to help somebody else. So when I tell you your lived life experience is worthy, the one thing I really want you to know is get information and support. If you need trainings, we do several trainings at no cost. And I will always tell you to go look up NAMI, N-A-M-I, NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and they'll give you information about all sorts of mental illness, all sorts of free trainings. I'm a trainer for them. I just got back from a training in D.C. this past few days where I became a trainer where I can train all over the United States to help families. Love to give you that information. You can go over to my website, twjme.com, and schedule a time to talk with me or reach out to me. And I'm more than happy to share on the free trainings as well because I know that some things I'm supposed to monetize, I call that my wealth-based business. But the other part is called my heart-based business because guess what? I also have lived life experience now to know that I can't give everything away because I'll be on the street if I do that. But at the same time, so much you made me. I feel like I haven't had an interview. Well, I don't know. I got everything out.
I'm gonna work, and that's the thing. As a radio host, if I bring a guest on, I want because I believe I just don't get anybody. I really believe I take my time in choosing the guests because I want them, and I know the guests have something to of importance that's gonna bless the listeners. And so, are you on, what's your social media platforms? Are you on LinkedIn, Instagram? What's your social media platforms, y'all?
So my social media platforms are going to be Facebook and Instagram. I am on LinkedIn as well. LinkedIn is just Teresa Teresa Wright Johnson. But everything else is TWJME or MomBiz, MomBiz, BOSS, MomBiz Boss, or TWJME. Those are the two ways you can definitely reach out to me, connect with me. I want to, like, really, really understand, or have people have an understanding that your lived life experience is just as worthy as anything else, and that you can help others, you can help yourself, you can monetize it, and you can have a heart-based business, you can have a wealth-based business. You could just go to work and help other people through your things that you grow through, because you went through those things to grow through them. You're a survivor, but you're moving on to thriving. So it's me, Teresa Wright Johnson.
Oh. Oh, my goodness, listeners, I have to believe we have gave you all a mouthful. That's when you know you've been fed, when you walk away from interviews or from, you know, conversation, you feel full, because I feel full, Teresa. I feel full. I feel like we have, the table has been set. It's so much information went out, and I want to thank you. You're a busy woman. You're all over the place. You got your hands in a lot of things. You're touching people's lives. I want to thank you for taking your time out of your busy schedule to be a guest on Breaking Chains Proverbs 31 Ladies Night. And so, people, hey, Teresa just gave you her information. Reach out to her if you need to want to come to your organization to do trainings. She gave her website. So if you forget, didn't hear too, you know, because we gave a lot of information, just go to her website, you know, and check her out. I'm Dr. LaTarsha Holden. If you're looking for a motivational speaker, a workshop facilitator, my signature workshop is called Hurdles, Helping Us Reach Our Destiny by Leaping Over Every Setback. I remember when I was homeless, I made a vow to God that if he brought me out of homelessness and hopelessness, I'd go back and fight for others. And the first thing I did to keep that vow, I ran in for city council in 2017. So it's the first thing I did. And the second thing I've done is I've written a training manual. Now I do workshops out of the training manual and personal development coaching. So I'm working with the Atlanta Urban League, Fullerton Atlanta Community Action Authority, and I'm just excited what God is using my real life experience, because it is worthy. And so if you're looking for a motivational speaker, someone to come in and, hey, come and shake the listeners up, and it don't have to even be people low income. It can be people in businesses. My specialty is personal development. You know, that personal development piece is what's lacking, how to be disciplined, how to be focused, how to really carry out the things that's going to matter when our life here ends. So you can reach me at www.elementsinc, ElementsInc.com, Three Elements Inc. Three Elements Inc., the name, people say, well, Dr. Holden, how did you come up with the name? Well, because I'm not from corporate America, and, you know, I was like, God, I mean, how can I help people and still be able to, like you said, take care of my family? What are my gifts and talents? I'm not from corporate America. I don't have all this technology experience. He said, well, there's always been three things about you ever since you was a little girl: love, compassion, and service. So Three Elements Inc. is love, compassion, and service. When I come on the scene, when I write a book, when I speak, preach, I'm an ordained pastor, you're going to always find those three things in whatever I do: love, compassion, and service. And so that's how I came up with the name Three Elements Inc. And so, hey, again, it's www.3elementsinc.com. You can also reach me at LaTarshaHolden@yahoo.com. That's LaTarshaHolden@yahoo.com. Give me a ring, 404-838-9587. I'm open for booking, and I'm looking forward, and I would love to come and speak at your next event. Again, thank you, Ms. Teresa, for taking your time out, being a guest on Breaking Chains Proverbs 31 Ladies Night. Join us here next Wednesday, 8 p.m., for another awesome show. Peace and blessings, everyone.
There is life in our songs, healing in our wings. We are children of God. Join hands with the King. Do you know who you are? Let
Women on YAT Radio.
Tune in next week, same time.
Go to our website,
blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, or call in
858-357-9137.
It's Breaking Chain, YAT Radio, where we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.